It was raining, as if the heavens were being drained of all their water. Rain bounced in the streets, flowed in streams down the gutters, and leaked through the cathedral's thatch. A brisk, cold wind was coming from the east, and it found every crack in the cathedral's wooden walls, so that the candles on the altars flickered, and some blew out. It was a small church, not much bigger than Ragnar's burned hall, and it must have been built on a Roman foundation, for the floor was made of flagstones that were now being puddled by rainwater. The bishop was already there. Two other priests fussed with the guttering candles on the high altar, and then Elderman Odda arrived with my bride, who took one look at me and burst into tears. What was I expecting? A woman who looked like a sow, I suppose. A woman with a pox-scarred face and a sour expression and haunches like an ox. No one expects to love a wife. Not if they marry for land or position. And I was marrying for land, and she was marrying because she had no choice. And there really is no point in making too much of a fuss about it, because that is the way the world works. My job was to take her land, work it, make money, and Mildreth's duty was to give me sons, and make sure there was food and ale on my table. Such is the holy sacrament of marriage. I did not want to marry her. By rights, as an ealdorman of Northumbria, I could expect to marry a daughter of the nobility, a daughter who would bring much more land than 12 hilly hides in Defnershire. I might have expected to marry a daughter who could increase Bebbanburg's holdings and power, but that was plainly not going to happen. So I was marrying a girl of ignoble birth who would now be known as the Lady Mildreth, and she might have shown some gratitude for that. But instead she cried, and even tried to pull away from Elderman Odda. He probably sympathised with her, but the bride price had been paid, and so she was brought to the altar, and the bishop who had come back from Chippenham with a streaming cold duly made us man and wife. "And may the blessing of God the Father," he said, "God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be on your union." He was about to say amen, but instead sneezed mightily. "Amen," Willibald said. No one else spoke. So, Mildreth was mine. Odda the younger watched as we left the church, and he probably thought I did not see him, but I did, and I marked him down. I knew why he was watching. For the truth of it, which surprised me, was that Mildreth was desirable. That word does not do her justice, but it is so very hard to remember a face from long ago. Sometimes in a dream I see her, and she is real then. But when I am awake and try to summon her face, I cannot do it. I remember she had clear, pale skin, that her lower lip jutted out too much, that her eyes were very blue, and her hair the same gold as mine. She was tall, which she disliked, thinking it made her unwomanly, and had a nervous expression, as though she constantly feared disaster. And that can be very attractive in a woman, and I confess I found her attractive. That did surprise me. Indeed, it astonished me, for such a woman should have long been married. She was almost 17 years old, and by that age most women have already given birth to 3 or 4 children, or else been killed in the attempt. But as we rode to her holdings that lay to the west of the River Weesk's mouth, I heard some of her tale. She was being drawn in a cart by 2 oxen that Willibald had insisted garlanding with flowers. Leofric, Willibald and I rode alongside the cart, and Willibald asked her questions, and she answered him readily enough, for he was a priest and a kind man. Her father, she said, had left her land and debts, and the debts were greater than the value of the land. Leofric sniggered when he heard the word debts. I said nothing, but just stared doggedly ahead.